Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 62, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125, page 62. Question asks, what does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Let us take our Bibles and we'll turn in them first to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's found on page 194 in the Pew Bibles, Deuteronomy 8. We'll read the entire chapter. Deuteronomy 8, people of God, hear now the very words of God. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, test you, to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let us turn over to Psalm 145, verses 14 through 16, page 666 in the Pew Bibles, Psalm 145. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, to pray to God, it's one of the greatest blessings we have as Christians, but maybe you've heard someone offer up a prayer that seemed lifeless, dry, as though someone was making coffee in the morning half awake. Well, there's a danger for us in every area of prayer, but perhaps especially in this request of praying for our needs. So every day we have many of the same needs. Food, clothing, shelter, companionship, safety. Some might recognize that, say, wow, my prayers, I just say the same thing over and over and over again, and they do it in a dull way. And so perhaps they stop praying for those things, saying, well, I want to avoid that dryness. Well, that's not the solution, to stop praying for them. Instead, we are to pray. We are to pray to God for our needs. Pray to God for your needs. We see that this evening. And first, we want to consider pray for provision. Pray for provision. So all that we have is a gift from God. Yes, He uses people, He uses events, He uses processes to work out His will, to convey His gifts to us. He ordinarily does not do like Israel did with manna in the wilderness. They come out every morning, there's manna, all that they need for the day. On the sixth day, there's all they need for 2 days. But it is God who gives. Therefore, we should ask Him to grant us what we need, the earthly provision we need for this life, food, clothes, house, transportation, work, so forth. God gives all things. Now, we need to be reminded of that for a number of reasons, but we work day by day, don't we? Season after season. And from our work, what do we produce? Well, you can see it around the church building here, the field, soybeans there. We see it in a project we have, a ditch we dig, a building we build, concrete we pour. We do it, it's there. We earn money to buy the food, the clothes, to pay the mortgage, to get fuel for the car. The unbeliever might look at himself, at herself, at the world around them, and he sees, well, he's fed just like the believer, only maybe better. Maybe he has a nicer house than you do, a nice car. Maybe he has more of the things of this life than the Christians around him. Yet he doesn't pray. Not really. It seems perhaps to his eyes that, well, everything just happens. If you work hard, you get ahead. If you're lazy, you don't. Why pray about these things? Just get to it. Prayer is just an excuse not to work hard or to avoid responsibility. Or perhaps you've heard someone say, avoid taking credit then. Where credit's due for your hard work, for your skill, your determination. How would we answer that? Well, we do so from the perspective of faith. It is true, God causes it to rain on the just, the unjust alike. We read that this morning. God sends the seasons and all that we need, as well, even overseeing hard times on those who belong to Him and those who hate Him. But it's God who's in control of all that. We believe that's reality. The unbeliever is simply wrong in not acknowledging there is a divine being behind every seemingly natural process, natural event. It's God who gives. Therefore, it's only fitting to pray. To pray to Him. What do we read from Psalm 145? It makes clear, God gives everything. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Again, we need to be reminded of that because that seed of unbelief is in our hearts. We get used to how God works in this creation, the regularity, right? The cause, the effect, the reaping, what is sown. God's worked that into creation. You work hard, usually you're blessed from that. And we are to work hard. We're tempted to forget. Or at least to live practically as though God doesn't provide. The Lord isn't always, if we're honest, the Lord's not always front and center in our thoughts, our awareness. Instead, you get busy, right? We ought to pray for provision. Jesus tells us, give us this day our daily bread. But there's another reason that's related to the first, that throughout much of history, man was ignorant of the different ways in which God provided. He would experience the regularity. He'd be tempted maybe to think things just happen, as we mentioned earlier, but he couldn't explain how. And then a disaster would hit, and they couldn't figure out the natural process. They thought, well, it just happens. It must be the gods. Today, with so many advancements in science and technology, not only can we describe, we can model the world around us, we can often manipulate it. Seed, genetically engineered, right? Look at the harvest, the bounty we have compared to 100 years ago. We pump water from an aquifer to drink. We don't have to go to a river. We generate electricity to power all our devices. Young adults maybe have created virtual worlds. Microscopes, ultrasounds, MRIs, we can peer into once was hidden areas. We can even see, and it's a wonderful gift to be able to see a baby in the womb, developing, beating, moving. 4D, you can see the curves and everything. It's amazing. Before, even if someone did not trust God, they often believed a God exists because that's the only way they could explain things. It was a mystery to them, and so they credited that mystery with the work of God. They had something that's sometimes called a God of the gaps, a God of the gaps idea. Today, that's virtually disappeared. Today, someone can be an atheist. Someone denies that God exists, and they can still feel intellectually satisfied that man's science, man's technology has removed that mystery enough. They no longer need intellectually a God of the gaps in order to be at peace in their minds. And so they reject God outright. The congregation, that doesn't change reality. Whether someone can live with himself, herself, doesn't change what the situation is. Whether we understand the processes or not, all things do come from God. What did we read again? The Lord upholds all who are falling. The eyes of all look to you. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You desire. Satisfy the desire of every living thing. So whether we work hard and receive a direct reward, a wage for our labor, all things still come from God. So we ought to thank Him, to pray for Him, to pray to Him for provision. So we read from Deuteronomy, God through Moses cautioned Israel of the temptation that they would face, that we have, that they had as they went into the land of Canaan. They would prosper, they would increase. Then verse 17, what would they be tempted to say there? They would say, my power, the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. And Moses said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives you power to get wealth. It's that plain. And we know what happened to Israel, don't we? And we know that. Children, you know. Bible stories. Even Solomon. He prospered. Israel prospered. Again and again, we're told, Kings and Chronicles, they forgot God. They went to other idols. They had the tabernacle, the temple. They had sacrifices. They even had all that. They had a form of religion. But their prayers grew empty. Rote, vain, lifeless custom. They went through the motions of praying to God, but their heart was far from Him, thinking it was their wisdom, their might, by which they were prospered. It's always been a temptation for the church. For us, Moses alerts them. Remember the Lord your God. By God's grace, though, people of God, do not stray as Israel of old did. Don't grow lazy in your prayers. Don't grow lazy, fathers, around the meal table. Or at night when you put the children to bed. Don't mindlessly repeat words that you've just got. Perhaps use variety in your prayers. So many things God gives us. It's good to vary your prayers to reflect that. Parents, it's a wonderful way to demonstrate to your children and train them in heartfelt, thoughtful religion. They can tell if you're going through the motions. They can tell if, where is your trust? Is it in your wisdom, your might, or is it in the Lord? Part of how you demonstrate to your children that God is real is in your heartfelt, lively prayers around the meal table, at the bed at night. God gives you all things. Remember that. Live always aware of it. Pray to Him, asking Him to give you what you need. I think if during the congregational prayer, we would always pray the same thing, and not just the same words, but in a monotone way, a lifeless way. To become a hollow, a shell, vitality emptied. It wouldn't be good for us as a congregation, would it? It's not good for you as a family, as an individual. Brothers and sisters, don't let that happen. Like Moses warned the Israelites, be on guard. Pray fervently, pray sincerely that God would provide all your needs. Well, how can we do this? Simply by wishing it so? No, but as we move to in our second point, sincerely praying for God to provide comes in part from a knowledge that He provides, a knowledge for which we also ought to pray. And we move to that in our second point, to pray for knowledge, to pray for knowledge. So as you and I, as we pray for the things we need, pray that God would also have you come to know that He is the source of everything good. Pray that God would have you come to know that neither, as the Catechism puts it, your work or your worry or God's gifts can do you any good without God's blessing. We need to know that. At one level, we know that. We need God to renew our hearts, to always keep it before us, to keep us aware of it. Earlier, we said our prayers ought not to be hollow, mere forms that we repeat. Part of that can be prevented and pushed against by knowing just how much God does provide for us. Meditate, think about what God has given you and how. In your prayers, be specific. Maybe choose what seem to be minor things. You know, talk to your children, talk to others about what God has given to you. And work that into your prayers. You know, from our reading in Deuteronomy, Moses, he brought out many blessings that the Lord had given and the Lord would give to Israel in Canaan. They were to know these were from the Lord. Manna, clothing that didn't wear out, brooks of water, fountains, springs, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees, honey. You can read through it all. Iron, copper. They were to know they were all from God. And thank God for them. Pray to God for all they needed. And so it is with us. Pray that God would bless His word to you, that He would bless the sermons to you, that He would give what is needed to your spouse, to your parents. Children, you can pray for your parents. Pray to give what they need to your children, to the office bearers in this congregation, to the other congregants. We have a wonderful tool to assist us in praying for each other. With the Dutton Update just came out. And there's a birthday calendar and there's an anniversary calendar. You can use that to pray for everyone in the church, specifically for everyone. Now, let me ask you, congregation, other than when there was a blackout from a storm, when was the last time you prayed for electricity? For the water that flows from the pipes, flows from the pump? Have you prayed for the mail to be delivered? Have you prayed to God to continue to supply your body with oxygen, to sustain the trees and other plants, that they would produce oxygen, to bless your lungs, to absorb the oxygen, to expel the carbon dioxide? Have you prayed to God to continue to have your cell membranes let what is helpful in and keep what is harmful out? Have you prayed to God to keep mutations from you, that your cells may reproduce, that you can have new cells that come in rightly and old cells be discarded? Have you prayed to God to continue to give light to sustain the sun and its shining? Have you prayed to God to continue to provide the magnetic field around this earth to protect us from harmful energy from space? Have you Pray that he would continue to have the earth go around the sun to bring the change in seasons, to have the earth rotate so that day and night alternate. We could go on, Young children, you know so much about this world already. You could pray for long hours just to the Lord, praising him, thanking him, and asking him to provide this, to provide that. You know so much about this world. And some people respond to the increased science and technology by denying God. But we as Christians, we can see a taste of this greater knowledge leads us to pray even more. To pray more for these things, to thank him more for them. You and I, we have so much more knowledge today than generations of time past. Use that knowledge in your prayers. Children and young people, as you learn more about God's world, don't just take that knowledge and think, well, I have it because I got to pass this test. I got to pass this test to pass this grade, and I have to get into the next grade so I can get a job. Meditate on that knowledge. This is God's world. Stand in awe of your God who provides barley, wheat, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, iron, copper, olive trees, honey. Work that knowledge into your prayers. And children, there are some people who can't wait to finish school because they think then, well, I don't have to learn anymore. Don't be like that. Go through life wanting to learn more because in part by learning more you grow in the knowledge of how great, how wonderful God is and how he provides. And your prayers then can be more fulsome. Connect that. We're Christians, right? Jesus is Lord of all. Take that schooling, that knowledge, and put it into your prayers. And parents, with school having begun, perhaps a good way of shepherding your children in seeing how they're learning, they are to glorify God in all they're learning is, you know, you ask them what they learned in school, right, for the day, and well, sometimes you get a one-word answer, two-word answer. Well, kind of draw them out, and as they say that, then take what they said and work that into your mealtime, your family prayers. As you extend hospitality to unbelieving family members or neighbors or coworkers, invite persons to share a meal with you, think of how that impacts and a witness, because you'll still pray, right? You'll still pray before the meal, after the meal. Your prayers can be filled with the works of God, asking God to work, providing. That's no vain religion than the world sees. That's no Sunday-only religion. This is a real walk with God. Here's where God is real to us in a real way. In all this, ask God to not only provide for these needs, but to have you come to know more that he is the source of all good. To know and live aware that even though the Lord has set in place all these wonderful processes in nature and creation, without God's blessing, they wouldn't continue, and they wouldn't do you or me any good at all. God must constantly sustain, as Hebrews puts it, uphold by the word of his power and bless all these gifts he gives. So pray for that constant blessing. Pray for the knowledge that he provides, that he must bless, or we would fail. As you pray these things, God grants them. God grants it according to his will. And so pray for these things. Pray that God also will work something else, a greater trust in him. And that's what we move to in our third point. Pray for trust. Pray for trust. So the root issue here with our prayers, with all of life, where is your trust? In whom do you trust? Is your trust in Mother Nature? Is your trust, as Moses warned about, in your own wisdom and strength and money? Is your trust simply in the status quo? Children, is your trust, ultimately, is it in your dad and in your mom? You trust in civil government. Is that our God? Congregation, where is your trust? Our prayers reflect where our trust is. If we don't ask God for the things we need, we show we don't really trust him, do we? We think we can do it. Someone else can do it. It will just happen. Of course, we say, we confess, yes, all things come from God. But what does your prayer life? Your prayer life's a good barometer of your faith. They're linked. Your lived out faith. What does your living show then? Where's your trust? Now, the world around us, of course, does not trust in God. Most people in our land say that there is a God, some divine being, but their prayers they pray reflect they haven't entrusted themselves to God through Jesus for time, for eternity, for everything. Entrust themselves. Just like Israel of old in Moses' time, or Israel in the psalmist's time. So it is with the church today. We say one thing, but the reality, the fullness of that reality is often something else because we are imperfect. We are tempted. We give in to these temptations. We need to go from God's providing for us to our knowing the Lord provides to our entrusting ourselves to Him. All these reinforce themselves by God's grace. And the cornerstone of that provision, that knowledge, that trust, is more than just the things of this life, which God has provided since the moment we had life. It's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what we hear in the gospel. There's the cornerstone of our earthly needs, of what God supplies. For we go through life, sometimes we have more, right? Sometimes we have less. There are times in everyone's life where we don't have what we think we should have, need to have, and so we're tempted to doubt God, to not trust Him. But we are to see how God has met all of our needs through the gift of His Son, Jesus. For God sent Jesus to redeem us. And He took upon Himself our human nature with all of its needs, earthly needs. And in that nature, with God providing all He needed, He fulfilled all righteousness which we needed to present to God. He bore our sin and guilt and therefore God's anger against our sin as He hung on Golgotha's tree. That's what sinners needed to endure. Jesus rose from the dead victorious, bringing righteousness, bringing life to us, which we need in order to live eternally. These needs He supplies. And all those who entrust themselves to God through Jesus, you have righteousness now. You are forgiven. Believer, you have the hope of the future glory. God has met your needs in Christ. Don't doubt. He'll meet all your other needs as well. Now, we might go through some very hard times on earth. In general, right now, our area in general has a time of economic peace. But we all individually, families, go through different times. Trust your Heavenly Father. Know that He provides and He blesses the provision and pray for that. For the one who does not believe, the one who's living in sin, who's relying on his or her own strength and wisdom, even in part. Yes, God provides many of their needs right now. We read this morning, He makes it rain on the just and unjust. But God's wrath is upon such a one. The time will come when he must stand before his Maker and give account for what he has done with all these gifts. On that day, we'll be plain how foolish they were to rely on themselves, to deny God's provision, to not pray to God, to not cast themselves on God. In their foolishness and their sin, because of their sin, God will punish them eternally. So that call goes forth, turn, repent, believe. Constantly trust in God. Pray that God would grant you that trust. As the Catechism says, that you would give up our trust in creatures and put trust in Him alone. When you're worried, when you're anxious, you have that pit in your stomach, when you're full, when you're well fed, when you come home from the store with bags of groceries, not only thank God, but pray that He would help you give up your trust in yourself, in others, trust Him alone. And we need that, don't we? Because in hard times and in good times, we're tempted to turn our eyes of faith away from God. And that shows up whether in worry or in smugness. And Jesus knew that. He knew it back in Moses' day, in the psalmist's day. He knew that when He instructed us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's why He said, pray this. Pray to God for your needs, brothers and sisters. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, provide what we need, whether it be the magnetic field around the earth, whether it be oxygen and lungs, whether it be righteousness and life. Lord, provide. You have given us so much. And may we always trust you and give up our trust in creatures. And use that, O Lord, to show our unbelieving neighbor and family and co-workers that you are God, that you exist, that you are active, that you provide, that religion is real in every part of our lives. And may you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.